podcast, I want to talk a bit about thinking, feeling, and willing. This is chapter 3.3 of my book. My book is called Fully Human, Being Fully Human in the Age of AI, of Artificial Intelligence. And in the previous podcasts, I have talked already a bit about artificial intelligence and how I see it, and which challenges I see with it, connected with it. And I also explained that my individual or my personal way to deal with these challenges is to look at the human being and what we are truly are, what we are, who we are, how we function, and what our potential is. And I think there is a lot to discover yet. And of course, there's also a lot to read and learn about, and many people have many images and also different views on it. And that is good. That is provides us with a rich image of the human being. And I want to talk now a little bit about thinking, feeling, and willing. And willing in action, in English, means doing. Being in action or transforming reality by doing something. So that is the meaning of willing as I use it here. And I want to just simply describe how we experience these three. So we experience thinking more or less in our head. That is not so new. In our head, we have the nervous system concentrated in our brain. Of course, the nervous system includes the complete body, but the majority of it is in the upper part, in the head. And this is where we experience our thinking. And I go further and try to say, or want to explain, that feeling is something which we experience more in the middle part of our body. So any feeling, it can be measured with biofeedback methods, any feeling has its reaction in the heart, in the heartbeat. The heartbeat differs with any feeling, and so does the breath, the breath. So the breathing also changes together with our feelings as they evolve. So if we are angry, immediately our breath goes faster, our heartbeat goes faster, blood is flowing faster through the whole body. If we turn to being calm and peaceful and ease, then the breath will be slower, and the heartbeat will find its harmonious rhythm back again. So these two are very closely connected, and we can experience feeling more in the middle part. When we think about our feelings, of course, then we are again more in the upper part of the body. These are very basic and simple things. But they are important, I think, because in my opinion, we have the opportunity to see the whole human being. And in most literature I read right now, we talk, or people write and talk, mainly about thinking, a lot about feelings and all the rest of it, and biography and trigger and pains and happiness, a lot about that, but very little about willing and how does the body function in movement. That's still, in my mind, a big open question. So I go further and talk shortly about willing or doing. And for this, it is obvious we need our limbs, our legs, our heads, our hands. And Yeah, we need arms and legs and feet and so on, and the whole body to execute what we have planned to do. So these are the three: thinking, feeling, and willing in the head, more in the heart area, in the lung area, breathing and heart rhythm, and then action more in the lower part of the body. And also be reminded, for any action in the muscle, you need metabolic processes. So we could summarize from a functional, bodily or physiological functional aspect or view, these three: thinking, feeling, and willing, have their equivalence in the physiology as being: thinking is mainly information processes, feeling are rhythmic processes, yeah, because breathing in and out or the heartbeat is all rhythm, and feelings and the rhythm of these two, they are very much interconnected. And then finally, for willing or for doing, we need metabolic processes. And behind those processes, you can find three different systems: nerve and sense system for thinking, respiratory and circulatory system for these rhythmic processes, and metabolic and lymph system for the metabolic processes. So, why is that important? Recently, my daughter asked this. So, what do we have from it if we know this? Well, first, I would say it is important to recognize that the human being has these three systems which function independently from each other and which work together in a healthy body in an optimal way when you are working with joy and enthusiasm. And these three systems, they have an upper part and a lower part, and then the middle part is, you could also argue, is intermediating or is creating balance between the upper part and the lower part. So we have now introduced terms like balance, finding a healthy balance between thinking and doing. And this already is also an important metaphor. In the recent German language podcast, I spoke about the lack of execution, yeah, which I discussed with several people recently, and they agreed with me. In our society, there's a growing lack of execution, of wishing to do something and then being able to realize it also in the intended way. And if you look at the human being in this threefold way, you find these three categories or three soul elements: thinking, feeling, willing. And you can realize yourself that if you have an idea which appears in your thinking, and if you go, usually as we do in our stressful life, we go immediately into action. So we think something, we have an idea, we plan for something, and we go into action, we do it. And we do this very fast throughout the whole day: thinking, action, thinking, action. Or having a meeting, project meeting, doing something. Going back to another meeting, doing something in between. And you sense already where I'm coming to. The middle part is being depleted by this. If you do this long enough, you will end up either ill or burn out or tired because there's no rhythm in it. And you see it already in my language, so I need to breathe for a moment after explaining this. And come back to myself and center myself in my middle part and recognize, okay, it's important to breathe, it's important to come back to a natural human rhythm, and even more important, to realize if we do not feel well what we want to realize, if we do not connect our feeling with our action, if we do not connect our feelings with our thinking, then a big part is missing. So in terms of learning, it is very important to include those three into learning processes. Learning is not only intellectual understanding of some issues and then going into action somehow, mostly relatively unclear. No, learning would be in this model, and I think it is very real and can be experienced easily by everyone, that an idea, thinking, needs to be experienced, and to have an experience with this idea is a feeling. And to feel this idea is true for me and gives me energy and enthusiasm, that is a very important part. And then I go into action with that feeling of enthusiasm, and then I can be pretty sure that the action is more aligned with myself, with my feeling, and also with my thinking part. So these are a few arguments to the question, yeah, why is this important to look at the human being in this threefold way? And I want to make a small little step further and say that thinking, feeling, and willing can also be experienced as part of your soul, part of my soul. And then the question is, what is the soul? I'm not going to define this, but I would like to say the soul is something which is at least less physical than the body. So it is maybe already something super physical or something in between. And super physical would mean, well, if it's not physical, then it is, you could say, it is spiritual. But I would say the soul is maybe in between the physical body and the spirit of the I. So here I come to the I, and I want to add to this podcast the theme of the I, because my question and my theme is, as you know, as a listener to my podcast, is how do I lead myself in relation to others, and how do I lead myself in team situations with others to realize our goals. So what is the role of the I within thinking, feeling, and willing? And that is something really interesting to explore. So just to give you some preliminary first ideas, the I is able to experience your thinking and experience consciousness in thinking. What does it mean? So you experience yourself, or you look at your own thinking, yeah? You do a thinking process, a thinking operation. To make it very simple, 1 + 2 = 3, yeah? And now you can look at this with your thinking again. You know exactly that you have done it. You know the result is true because of logic and your skill. And now you can look at this operation. And you can find that in thinking, within thinking, there is a subtle force which enabled you to go from 1 + 2 = 3. Someone has to do this, has to drive the process. And if you observe sensitively, then you can recognize that this force which drives your thinking can be described as willing in thinking. So here you have willing in thinking. And it's very strange, because it makes it now very how should I say, very much independent from any body functions, because it seems to function in a way. Of course, you need your whole body for it as a human being, but yeah, I want to point to these processes which not necessarily, obviously, need a body function, because I can think it, you can think it, we can think it. 1 + 2 = 3. So it seems to be a common thought, a something which is within you and everyone else, if one chooses this to take up and think. So I'm pointing to the sea of ideas which obviously everyone has access to. I know I'm telling quite some things here which point to many, many questions, but this is what I want to try to do. Yeah, so in thinking, you can find willing. And again, when you think something, and let's say you put a thought of a nice place of your recent vacation, and then something comes up as a feeling like, oh yeah, that was nice. So you have an image, you put that image in front of you, and you notice that your feeling reacts to that image. And also, this has been done by yourself, so it means someone has to do it, and that is your I, because you did it. And so, with these simple examples, I want to point to this element number 4, which is the I, which can become more and more conscious within thinking, feeling, and willing. And then it can become an experience more and more that you say, aha, I seem to be in control of myself as far as possible. Certainly not always, of course. Most of situations are driven by outside triggers. But there are some situations where I feel like, okay, I make a decision, I think about it, I experience it as true, as being true for me, and I do it and I realize it. And for this, I need my body and my physiology. So immediately, we have a different image of a human being, which means I seems to be an inner experience. The I, to experience the I, seems to be a experience independent from the body. Because if I go through thinking, feeling, and willing and use my body for execution, it is obvious that who is the director in this, who is the master of all this, this is I. And where does the I come from? Well, some say it is out of unconscious processes of the brain. I don't think so, but I think what we all can experience is that we can experience it independently from where it is in the body. So the I can function as a goal giver. We set our own goals. We use our thinking, feeling, and willing. And we use our body. Thinking, feeling, willing uses the bodily systems, which I explained earlier. And then action can happen. Yeah, a bit complicated. Hopefully, not too complicated. This is about page 38 and page 39 of my book. And it's a continuation of the former, earlier podcast in English language. And I want to continue with further podcasts in English language and explaining parts of my book to just make it a bit more easier for you to notice that and to hear what I try to express in my book. Thank you for listening.